Good to see all of you here this morning. If you are visiting with us, you are welcome. Honored guest, and we're glad that you came. Please come back every opportunity that you have to be with us. I had intended to say something about Boyce. He texted me and said, "Now, Dan, I'll be there Sunday morning." He's not here. But anyway, y'all remember Boyce. I was going to say to him, "Boyce, this is the fourth Sunday. And you know you're supposed to be in the pulpit on the fourth Sunday." So anyway, well, I hate that he wasn't able to be with us, but I'm glad he's taking care of himself. He is home and is doing good, looking good, and so we're very grateful to Almighty God for that. Please keep others in your prayer that we have mentioned numbers of times that are in need of our prayers as well. Vicki Avenger, Vicki's not here, but she had intended to be back again this morning as well. And so please keep Vicki in your prayer. She's doing fine and is, of course, at home. Martha Bale is going to have surgery coming up Wednesday. And she's going to be incapacitated for a little while. They're going to put a new hip in Martha. And so please keep Martha in your prayers. And Randall, we want to remember Randall. And others who have been mentioned, of course, please keep all of them in your prayers. My lesson, as you can see this morning, is taken from 2 Timothy, the second chapter. And we're going to especially be looking at verses 20 and 21. Let me refer back to that with you for just a moment. In every great house, there are various vessels, some of gold, some of silver, some of wood, and some of stone or of the earth. Some are to honor and some unto dishonor. Now, if a man will purge himself of those sins that Paul had been talking to Timothy about and get himself really prepared to be a great preacher and helper in God's family, then he'll say he is preparing himself for good work, sanctified and set apart unto every good work unto God. Last week I noticed verse 19 and 20. And especially I took note of verse 19, where the Apostle Paul says that we are known of Almighty God. The important thing is, you and I may be able to shade ourselves from others. We may be able to hide ourselves. We may be able to pretend with others and this, that, and the other. But the fact of the matter is, we pointed out last week, God knows all things. He knows who we are. He knows what we're doing. Brother Carter, how can he know? He's God. I wish somehow or other all of us get our minds in gear and realize that fleshly things are just that. They're of this world. They are fleshly and they're gone. The body in which you dwell goes back to the dust from whence it came. But Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the spirit within returns back to God. If we could just come to understand and realize that this world was created for purpose and that you and I are going to only be here a short period of time, our life is more than this. But this is like military. There's a period of training that must go on to get us prepared for the next step. Why does God do it this way? Because He's God. We've got to quit questioning the Almighty God. And we've got to realize that everything that the Almighty gives to us in His book for us to understand, and it's logical, it's easy to understand. There's no reason tripping over the Word of God. There's no reason for someone saying, oh, well, maybe. No maybe about it. If the book said it, it settles it. Y'all remember that bumper sticker I was telling you about one time? It went something like this. God said it, that ends it. And that's the way it is. Whatever the good Lord says, look, He's God over all. Yes, I know. I don't understand either. And I'm going to tell you something. We won't fully understand until we're in His presence. But then understand that you and I are going to be in God. We are going to be different. It's a spirit world. It is another dimension. I always liked Albert Einstein. And though Albert Einstein didn't claim to be Christian, what Albert Einstein said and did proved a lot of things that men in science are saying he was absolutely right. There are things that you and I do not see because we are in the flesh. There's a spirit world. And just know this, that God wants us there. But He gives us instruction and He tells us how we ought to live so that we'll do better here and we'll be prepared for there. So last week I looked at verse 19. Paul instructed Timothy in so many things that are applicable for you and I today. And it teaches us so many vital lessons of growth and what God wants in us. These lessons that we are looking at, that we've been looking at for all the entire month, Sunday morning and then Sunday afternoon, they are designed to encourage strong discipleship, to be stronger brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we'll apply all those things that we've been looking at, I guarantee you, we'll be stronger. Paul is writing to a young man in the faith, a very strong young man, a young man who has grown tremendously, but he's going to grow even more. And he had Paul as his tutor. That's a wonderful thing. So he writes to Timothy, these lessons are for our discipleship. We are a purchased possession. God knows each one of us, and He knows our heart. Some of us will be to honor. Some of us will be to dishonor. In every house, there are vessels more important than other. I hate to say it that way. Maybe that's the wrong way to say it. All the vessels are important. Some vessels are not used as other vessels. Does that sound better? In other words, if I'm going to drink iced tea, I want a pitcher full. I want a big glass with ice in it. I don't want you to give me a little cup. Little cups are okay for coffee and things like that. Do you see what I'm saying? All the vessels that we have in our houses are there for a reason. There are spoons, there are forks, there are bowls, there are pitchers. Some are made of gold, some are made of silver, some are made of wood, some are made of stone. Oh, and this is an important point as well. Have you ever noticed that there are potter's fields where they make pottery? And some of that pottery is broken. It's no good. And it's cast out. Oh, in the second chapter of the book of Job. Do I have it here? Yes. Job 2 and verse 8. The Bible tells us that Job was sitting among the ashes and he took a pot shear and he, on those old sores he had, he would scrape them to make them erupt. He was in pain. Broken pieces of pottery. Do you watch Antique Roadshow? That's my favorite show. Antiques Roadshow. Because they're making money off of things that we kicked around when I was a kid. Yeah, I can't believe it. One lady had a bowl, a pot, that was made by her ancestors, a Navajo, Indians. Beautiful pottery, and the colorings on it were just absolutely magnificent. And she told the story. She said, it's been passed down through generations. It came from my great-great-grandmother. And maybe someone gave it to her. She was a Navajo, I believe it was, Indian. One of the native Indians. And it had been passed down, taken care of. Grandma had it. She gave it to Mama. And then Mama gave it to me. And they looked at this. It's a beautiful bowl. And they said, well, I would insure it for about $2,500. How many of those bowls have you broken? I wonder how many pieces of pottery is laid out there in Arizona, New Mexico, and places where the little old Indians made those pots, and some of them came out okay, some of them didn't come out okay, some of them were cast away, and they were broken, not fit to be used. They were dishonor. There were others that were of honor. It's not just pots and bowls. It's a lot of other things. If you ever watch that show, in my house. Now, while Jeannie was a collector, you know, she loved all of it. And it's just hard on me. My son say, Dad, get that stuff out of the house. That's a part of my life. She has little gold things and little silver things. Oh, well, we didn't eat out of them. They were just to look at. You know what I mean? They were so honored, they were set in their place. You had certain places for them. But then there are these old bowls, you know, that I use over and over. And then there's these plates. And by the way, there's a lot of antique plates there, too, that probably are worth something that I don't know. Stacks of them that Mama used to collect. Some to honor, some to dishonor. Some get broken. I throw them in the trash. In fact, to be honest with you, I've thrown away a lot of things. Because to me, Vessels are handcrafted. Oh, here's another example of what happens to the broken pottery. The 27th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Bible says that Judas repented himself and he went back to those to whom he had betrayed the Lord. And he said, I betrayed innocent blood. But what's that to us? He threw down the 30 pieces of silver. They said, we can't bring it back into the treasury. It's got blood on it. Oh, those hypocrites. They're the ones that gave it to him to go and betray the Lord. Anyway, Bible says that Judas went out and he hung himself. It was at a potter's field. Now, oftentimes I've wondered, because you have these accounts where it says that he hung himself. And then another account says that he fell headlong and burst open asunder and all his innards gushed out on the earth. You wondered about that, right? Well, if he was on a potter's field, in a potter's field, there's a lot of sharp pieces of old pottery and things there. My imagination goes like this. No one wanted to take Judas down. No one wanted to honor Judas. He was a betrayer. And he hung there until his neck gave way, or maybe the rope broke and he fell. And his body was so putrefied that he burst asunder and his innards gushed out. But notice that it was a potter's field. There are some vessels in our house that we hold of more honor. There are other vessels that are dishonor. Some of them are broken and we can take and repair them. We can put glue there and put them back together and we can use them again. In fact, metal is like that. If some of you men in here work with metal, if you do welding, you know that if you weld a certain metal together at a certain place where it broke and you weld it back together, that many times that weld is stronger than any other place. It holds stronger than other places in that particular implement where it may break again. When God mends the soul of a man, when God brings you back together, you truly repent. Not like Judas, who felt sorry for himself and went out and hung himself, but like Simon Peter, who wept bitterly and said, "Oh God, I'm sorry for what I did." God made a useful vessel out of Simon Peter like no one else. He was precious in the sight of Almighty God. Paul was an abuser of God's people. Yet Paul became a Christian and became one of the greatest vessels the world has ever known. By the way, here's another verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Now he's talking about the gospel being preached. And he said, by the way, we have this gospel in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Y'all get that? Each one of us should be a vessel for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our testimony of living the life of Christ ought to encourage others to come to Him, to speak a word to them about the Christ. We are vessels of honor to be used by the Lord in His service. It says in every house, want me to show you what the house is? Go to 1 Timothy 3 in verse 15. Now, Timothy, I am writing these things unto you so that you may know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. You folks understand where I'm going with all this, right? We're either going to be a vessel of honor to God or we're going to be a vessel of dishonor. And we have the choice to make. We can turn it around and we can be like Simon Peter, or we can leave it alone and die like Judas Iscariot. See there? We either be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. God wants to rebuild broken lives. And by the way, I want to tell you something. There's not a one of us in this assembly who has not had a marred life. And not a one of you who have not questioned God. Oh, you may say you have, but in your mind I'm talking about. You may not verbalize it, but there's been things that have hurt you so bad. And you have scratches on you. Did you know that God can take a buffing cloth and make you just as like new? Did you know that God has the glue to put a broken piece back together and it's better than it was to start with? Because you've learned and I have learned what little life is about. In the church of our Lord, there are all types of vessels. Now you can go to Matthew chapter 25 and there the Lord gives the parable of what we call the talents. What I like to say is the various abilities. Because the talents were given according to the abilities that the people had. There was a man who had quite a bit of material goods. He was going to take a journey and he had these three servants. Unto one he gave five. And to another he gave two, and to another he gave one, each according to his several ability. That's what it says. In other words, here's the thing. Last week we looked at verse 19 that said God knows us all. Now he knows what old Dan can handle, and he knows what someone else can handle. Did you know that I may have different type of abilities? I have different things that I can do that you can't do. Now, it may be that you can do the very same things that I can do. It may be that you can do some things that I cannot do, that I wish I could do, but I just don't have the ability to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. Don't count yourself out just because you only have, as this parable points out, one talent. Because in God's house, there are those things that hold five abilities. There are those vessels that hold two abilities. There are those vessels that have only one ability. But all of them are honorable because they're doing what God wants them to do. You see that? Doesn't that make logical sense? God doesn't ask me to do what I can't do. And by the way, verse 19 said he knows what you are able to do. He gives you those things that you are able to accomplish. And don't ever look down on what you're doing. Don't ever say, well, Dan's more important than I am. No, I'm not. And if you really knew me, you know that God has had to work a great work on me. And it's none of your business what's wrong with me. And if I need your help, I'll tell you. You understand? Each one of us has our problems. Each one of us has to work with them. But I'm going to tell you what. We're not working alone. The good Lord puts the glue in there. And he rebuilds you. He'll fix the cracks. He'll make it as though you were new as a driven snow. Because he loves us. Now don't ask me why. Because I'm going to tell you, I'd have given up on us a long time ago. I'd have given up on this world. I'd have blown it to thunder. Okay, that's an East Texas expression. But I'd have said enough is enough, but not God. He got more long-suffering than you and I ever thought we could have. And he'll take care of you. Only thing, he asked you to take care of yourself. He asked you to be mended. He asked you to let him help. He asked you to be his vessel. And you can be. And you will be. Because you belong to the Lord. To one he gave five. According to the man's ability, he got five talents. Opportunities. To another man he gave two. He had two opportunities to use this which the master gave him. To another man he had one. Well, how does the Lord tell the story? Well, after a while, the master returns. And he takes account of his servants, how they used what they were given. First man had had the five talents, he used them, and he said, Master, I used those five you gave me. Lo, I have five more. That's ten. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll put you over many things. Now enter into the joys of the Lord. Don't you guys see that he's preparing us for someplace else? We're going somewhere else. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Right? That's an old song. Came to the next man. Master, you gave me two opportunities. Behold, I used them and I gained two more. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. You were faithful over a few things. I'm going to set you over many things. Folks, look at this. The Lord didn't say, well, you didn't do as good as the man that had five. He wasn't expected to. He was expected to use what he had. Okay? When I sit back and I say, oh, I can't do this. You're not using what God gave you. You use what the good Lord has given you. And you know you have talent. You know you have ability to do that. Use them. Use them. So he comes to the last guy. Well, Master, you gave me one, and I'm going to tell you, I was afraid. Whew, that sounds like us. I was afraid, and I just went and hid it. Here, you can have yours back. He said, I don't want it back. I gave you the opportunity to use the talent you had, and you didn't have it. Now, take away that one talent that he had and give it to the man that had the five. For unto him that hath shall be given, unto him that hath not, even that which he doth not have, shall be taken away. Brothers and sisters, isn't that shouting something to us? Isn't he telling us how judgment's going to be? Oh, by the way, I've used this verse over and over, and I'm going to use it again. 1 Peter 4:17, judgment begins at the house of God. The world's already judged, folks. Oh, yeah, they're going to stand before him, but they're judged. If you don't believe in Christ, if you don't believe in God, you can't be saved. And in that sense, you're judged already. But who are the ones that are going to be judged? What's the Bible say? Judgment, 1 Peter 4:17, shall begin at the house of God. That's this house. Going to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? If a righteous man scarcely be saved, that's what it said, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? There's an old expression in the scripture that says, by the skin of my teeth. I asked Thomas one time, Thomas, do we have skin on our teeth? He said, yes. Everyone has a little protective skin on their teeth. He's a doctor, dental. So the Bible's right. Even before they had dentists like Thomas, God was talking about the skin on the teeth. Now, here's an old East Texas expression. Some of us are going to be saved by the skin of our teeth. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I feel like one of those vessels. I thank God that I can preach. I thank God that I can reach out to people. But never in my life would I ever think that I could be a Paul or a Simon Peter. Those are some of the greatest men that ever preached the gospel. Okay? Brother Carter, don't you know that the Bible says that the last will be first and the first will be last? I know it. But it would just tickle me to death if he'd let me be the doorkeeper. Get the point? I want to go to heaven. But I'm telling you, there have been some mighty, wonderful men and women, vessels of honor, you've known them, who have lived right here among us, vessels of honor, whom we still think about, who brought and encouragement to our lives. Some of us have more abilities than others do. That's just the way it is. And the Lord knows. Some have five, some have two, others have one. Use what you have. That's the whole point. In Luke 13, we already talked about that's the barren fig tree. But what we need to see is how gracious God is. God bears with us. He gives me time to bear fruit. Notice that this tree was in the garden for 3 years. It had borne no fruit. And so the master came to it and told the vine keeper, just pull it up. Been there 3 years, hasn't done anything. The vine dresser, and I like to see this as Christ. The vine dresser said, Master, just give me one more year. I'll dig around it. I'll water it. I'll fertilize it. Peradventure, it will then start bearing fruit. But if it doesn't, does that mean 4 years? No, that's a figurative deal. We understand that. What it does show is, though God is gracious, he bears long with us. The Bible over and over talks about the long suffering of God. It is sad indeed to see those who were once enlightened falling away and become unfaithful to the Lord. Note Colossians 4 and verse 14. There the Apostle Paul talks about some of his helpers, some of the great preachers that he worked with. And one of those men that he named was a man by the name of Demas. He was a great man to Paul. Demas. But now, the last book that Paul wrote is 2 Timothy 4:10. What had happened? Something between Colossians 4 and 2 Timothy 4, something happened to a man by the name of Demas. Or, in writing to Timothy, he says, Demas has now forsaken us. He has gone to the ways of the world. It's sad. Some will be to honor, some will be to dishonor. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, take heed lest you fall. I'm going to tell you, I love the fact that God has us as his vessels. Some of us can bear more than others. Some of us can do more than it, but the one is just as important as the five. Right? The Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen, the day of judgment, that's all I want to hear him say. Well done. Come on in. You want to go to heaven? If you're a member of the Lord's body and you've not been living the way you should, you need to repent right now. Let the Lord help you. Get back in the saddle. Be a servant. Be a vessel of honor. Because if not, it's dishonor. It's either a vessel of honor or dishonor. Dishonor will be cast away. The honorable ones will be received. You need to come back to your Lord. I need to come back to my Lord. If you need to make a public confession, then do that this morning. You've drifted away. You want to come home. Come back. And it may very well be that one's in this assembly who has never obeyed his Lord. What are you putting it off for? You don't know how long you're going to be here. This is just a period of time. If we live to be 70 or 80 or 90, those are additional years. 70 is about the average. You may be gone tomorrow. Are you ready? Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord said, and that's what you need to do. Truly repent of your sin. Turn away from the world. Obey the Lord. He'll add you to the church. Be faithful to death. If you are subject this morning in any manner, you'd like to place membership with us, you can do that. Will you come while together we stand and sing?